Lulu's kitchen. Hello, and welcome back to the kitchen. Today we are going to make something that is delicious, spicy, warming, and a real cop-out actually, because it's really easy. This is Cajun red beans and sausage. And the sausages I use, they are those little cooked pork cocktail sausages that you usually put on sticks and serve as canapé snacks. Now, I don't know whether you can get these in the US, but in the UK they are becoming very, very prevalent. And they are really cool to use in a stew like this because it means that you don't have to do all that pre-browning jazz. It's all done for you. I've read lots of articles about what is the one cooking utensil you just couldn't do without. I think one of the cooking utensils that I couldn't do without is my big, straight-sided, deep, two-handle cook pot. It's actually a stock pot, although it's not huge, but it is about the standard size for a stock pot. And I have found it of inestimable worth in the cooking that I do. It makes great stews and all kinds of good stuff. And I use it so much that I actually have it sitting out on the top here of the flat glass plate, which is my hob. We actually live in a rented apartment, and the hob and oven came with the apartment. I had no say in choosing them. The hob is a flat glass plate, which I have actually learned to manage and do so quite well, I hope. Famous last words. But the oven is a no-no. It has a touch screen and I can't, there's just no way I can use it. And believe me, I've tried. Which is why we either have food that I can prepare on the hob or prepare in my two beautiful new machines, of which you have already heard. So anyway, today we will be using the hob top. And we will also be using the active fry, because with this we are going to have potato wedges, spicy potato wedges, and they are very delicious. So I've got this pot heating on the electric hob, and into it I have put about 2.5 tablespoons, I didn't measure it too carefully, of groundnut oil. Groundnut oil I like to use for this because it's nice, it gets nice and hot, it's also flavourless, and it takes the taste of the spices nicely. Now I've had the heat whacked up really high. I'm now going to turn it down some, because what I want to do before I do anything is roast some spices. So the first thing I'm going to roast, I never measure this, so I'm giving you a rough measurement, is about a teaspoon of Cajun seasoning. And that goes. You can use any kind. If you live in the deep south, Tony Satchel's is what I used to use when I lived in Louisiana, and it is mega good stuff. But Slap Your Mama or all kinds of good Cajun seasoning is I don't think Slap Your Mama is actually. Right, then I want about 2 teaspoons of ground cumin. Wonderful, good mood, earthy aroma going in there. Now, it'll sizzle just a touch. I'm going to stir it over in the oil. Can you hear that? Yeah. And I want to stir it into the oil until the aroma rises, which it is doing. And I don't want it to burn. Oh, it's coming. Lovely. Right. What I have here, first of all, is a diced onion, medium-sized onion. You could use a red onion, a sweet white onion, a Vidal onion. You don't want to use a Spanish onion, it's too strong. I have a red onion here. Here it goes. Now, I just want to let this take the heat for a couple minutes. And again, I haven't got the heat on full because I don't want this to burn. But I want to let this take the heat, get that wonderful fried onion smell come up out of the pan, and feel a little bit soft on the end of the spatula. The big R, Randy Rusnak, said a very good thing. He said blind people, when they cook, they use their hands. And I don't mean that you should put your hands into the pot, for heaven's sake. What I do mean is that people have often said to me, you know, how do you judge when things are done? Well, there's a spatula on the end of this hand, and you can tell a lot of what goes on in a pot by feeling things with the spatula. You know, if things feel hard when you stir them around, hey, they're still raw. If things feel soft, then they're getting more cooked. It's, hey, if you're an experienced cook, I'm talking to the converted here, but if you're not, that's taking the heat a bit. Now, more cop out. What I need is jalapeno and garlic. Chili and garlic, if you're in the UK. What I have got here is something called very lazy chili. It is chopped up in a jar in white wine vinegar so that it's preserved. And I'm going to squeeze it some to get as much liquid off it as I can. Squeezing it out. Now this will splatter horribly when it goes into this hot oil, but I can't help that. I'm going to just use a level teaspoon because we don't want this too hot. And now I'm going to take the heat up. There we go. And here's the garlic, same thing, very lazy garlic. It's all been chopped up beautifully in white wine vinegar. And it's not so much liquid in this stuff, so I'm just giving it a gentle squeeze to get rid of the moisture. And 1 teaspoon, 1 clove, I would say, so I'm going to put 2. I like to use this rather than, say, crushed chili or chili flakes, but hey, if that's what you have, that's what you use. You can use garlic powder, you can use dried minced garlic in here, you can use fresh garlic. But I just can do without the hassle of having to chop this stuff up when I have all this good stuff in jars. Once these are open, keep them in the fridge, guys, otherwise they will go mouldy. Okay, I'm stirring this into the hot oil and spices and onions. Smells so good. What I'm getting down here is a nice oniony, spicy, vegetable-y mulch. And it's not burning, it's just going soft and taking the heat. Now what I want to do is put in my sausages. I'm just going to pour in like that. I'm going to take up the heat a little bit more because I want these to get warm through. I'm not too worried about this. These are going to get nicely warmed through because this is going to have a nice long slow cooking time. But I just want a little bit of whatever flavour is in there. And these are good quality pork sausages to just reach out a little bit and get with all the spices and vegetables. The smell is just awesome coming out of this pan. The other thing I have here is I have a diced red bell pepper. You could use an orange bell pepper, a yellow bell pepper. Don't use a green, you want sweetness here. Going in. Taking down the heat now to medium. Medium low, actually. Taking out the spatula. And I'm putting on a lid. What I want to happen for about the next 5 to 10 minutes, I want those sausages to get real heated through. I want all those vegetables to just completely soften and caramelize. And for everything to just get really well acquainted in that pan. So I shall get on with a few dishes and I'll be back with you in about 10 minutes. Okay, here we are back again. Now all those sausages are nicely heated through. The vegetables are nice and soft. Just turn the heat up slightly because we're going to want what goes in next to be nice and soft. 2 cups of cooked red beans, which is about a 14-ounce can in the UK. I'm using canned. It's just that much easier. A 14-ounce can. Get in. I've rinsed these really well. They had a lot of glue on them. And if you can, buy a good quality make, okay? Because if you buy the value ones, they're nasty little bullet things. And they've always got... they don't have a nice taste. If you're going to buy canned, try and get good ones. Right, I'm just going to stir those in with the sausages and the spices and vegetables. You can hear now the sand has got a lot drier, so there's quite a lot of juice in there. Most of it came out of the peppers. Right, I have here tomatoes. This is a 14-ounce can of chopped tomatoes. I would say again, if you're in the US, about 2 cups of diced stewed tomatoes. That's what I would use if I was over there. Now, I want some more liquid in this. If I was making a chili, I would fill this can with water, but I want this to be a bit thicker because we are having potatoes with it, not eating it out of bowls. So I'm just going to use a half can. Can is really useful for measuring water with. Stir that in. It's good and rich already, actually. Then we want tomato paste, tomato puree, same thing. I would say a good 2 or 3 tablespoons. If you don't have tomato paste, this is going to please some people, use ketchup. Ketchup is really actually quite a good substitute for tomato paste. Somebody read that to me in a magazine and I was like, eh! But it's actually true. It produces a sweeter result because of all the sugar that's in ketchup, but it does work if you don't have anything else. But as it would happen, I have tomato paste here today. Now, this needs a good seasoning. So I'm actually going to use my... it's on a high shelf, excuse me. And I'm only a little bear. I'm going to use my running salt rather than crack, crack, crack out of the fresh sea salt bowl. I'd say a good teaspoon's needed in here. Again, I just measure it with my hand. I don't think we need to put any black pepper in here because there's plenty of spices already. Stir that over. You have to taste. You just have to. Now, the lovely thing about this recipe, I would say give that about half an hour minimum. But the lovely thing about it is, on a very low flame, if you're careful with it and keep stirring it, it will sit quietly until you're ready for it. So it's just going to sit there blopping away to itself and simmering and getting rich and delicious while I make the potato wedges and do everything else. So I'll see you in a moment or two. Here we are back again. Now, I've had a look at the sausages. They're getting thick and rich and absolutely gorgeous. So we're going to start the next bit now. And to go with the stew, we're going to make some spicy potato wedges. Now, I'm going to do these in the active fry, but if you like, you could do these in the oven. What you would use is about 3 tablespoons of oil to my... I'm going to use about 1.5, I would think. And the same sort of seasoning and spices. And I would bake them in the oven for about half an hour at 425°F. And I think it is gas mark 8, but don't quote me. I'm having real trouble remembering to give quantities and times and temperatures, which is not very, very clever of me. If any of you, I haven't told you something you wanted to know, nag me about it. So I'm going to get the pan of the active fry because I like to cut things and put them straight in. It makes marginally less mess. You can't cook, at least I can't cook, without making a mess. I can hear someone over there saying, ain't that the truth? But if I cut things straight into the active fry, it does really help some. Okay, so I've got large Maris Piper potatoes here, and I'm cutting them in half lengthways, and then after that, into quarters, into eighths, into wedges, as narrow a wedge as I can make. I'm keeping the length of the potato so that it makes a nice, long, narrow wedge. I would say use a gentle sawing motion with the knife rather than pressing on it, which is a bit difficult, especially with these really quite big potatoes, until you get them in half lengthways. There we are. If you use a sawing motion, it's a lot easier to control what you're doing. Now, I've kept the skin on these because I think potato wedges are nicer with the skin on. It kind of makes the skin go lovely and crispy. I'm going to season these again with salt and a little bit of that Cajun seasoning, which always seems to be in my larder. For you in the UK, we really don't have too much choice. It seems to be Schwartz or nothing, but it's not bad stuff. In America, you are so lucky. You have all kinds of wonderful seasonings over there. So use what you feel like. Oh, I know what I meant to tell you. My active fry. There are lots of different active fries. I use the standard 1 kilogram model, which is not the mini fryer, not the plus, and not the family, and not the 2-in-1. It's just the standard normal model. Now, I chose this one for several reasons. A, because it's the one that my husband and I need. We don't need anything bigger. B, because there's no temperature control, no timer actually linked to the active fry itself. For example, the family one, you have to use the timer because it's linked to the active fry itself. When the timer goes off, the active fry switches off. And as the timer is not exactly blind friendly, I didn't want that to happen. So I chose this standard model, which has two buttons, which is the timer, which you can completely ignore and set your own timer, look at the clock, do whatever, and the on-off button. The active fry cooks at a temperature of about 170 to 180. Not hot enough, maybe, for some things that need a very hot temperature, but it does, and it does beautifully, everything that we want it to. I'm going to use groundnut oil again on the potato wedges. Got my active fry measuring spoon. Roughly measures about 14 mils of oil. Now this is a lot of potatoes. I'm actually giving it a little bit extra just because I feel so inclined. Some of the ubiquitous Cajun seasoning. Now I don't use it to make cakes with, I promise. Just a light sprinkling and a light seasoning of salt. There we are. This is a lot of potatoes. I am going to give these 30 minutes and then check them, see what they're like. These are cut into quite big pieces, thicker than chips. I would say these are going to take 40 at least, and I would say probably 45. But as I have never made them before, we shall see. I'm fitting the pan into the active fry, gently depressing the lid so that the lock engages, locking the handle down flat so that the active fry can't be opened. 3, 2, 1, 0. Off we go. Right, I'll see you when we come back to check on these babies. Okay, we should be about ready to rock and roll. I'm just going to turn off the fry now. Those are smelling done to me. Lock the handle into the opening position. Press two little buttons underneath, and that disengages the lid, which then, with one little encouraging push, will open. Hear that. Gentle feel. Oh! Wonderful. Really crispy. Absolutely terrific. Now I'm just going to leave them there for a minute because I want them to... Well, they're going to be absolutely reaming hot. But I just want them to have a chance to at least stop hissing before I serve them. Now, just having a look at our stew. It's thick and rich and scrumptious. I turned the heat out under it just before I came back to you. I did a little bit of adjustment here, which is a thing that you never need to be afraid to do if you think it needs it. Add a taste of it, and it tasted very sharp because of the tomato puree that we put in. So a teaspoon of sugar might sound an odd thing to put into a stew, but if you have sharp tomatoes, a teaspoon of sugar just helps to put the balance back right. So I put that in. And I also put a little bit more cumin because I hadn't put quite enough. I don't ever measure anything by tablespoons and teaspoons very much. When I'm putting spices and seasonings into things, I usually just measure everything with my hands. So I hadn't put quite enough cumin. It needed a touch more. I've got a deep Chinese ladle here, which I got from Ken Hom's shopping business that he used to do years and years ago. And it stood me in such good stead. It's a bit like one of those Chinese soup spoons, only on a very much larger scale. I've never been able to find anything like it. And if I ever lost it, I don't quite know what would happen to me. Because it's the usefulest thing I've ever found for serving stews and casseroles. Okay, that's that all served up. It's made two very generous platefuls. I just tilt the pan and let the wedges tip out onto the plate. Just listen to how wonderfully crisp they are. They're attacking me. Stop it. Mr. B.
Is it ready?
Your dinner awaits. Hope you've all enjoyed it, and I'll see you again soon. Lulu's Kitchen was presented by Lulu Hutchin, with music by Andre Louis. www.andrelouis.com